prevailing in legal affairs. Here is where we shall get into legal action, the rare instance of public legal affairs, such as determining tax liability, defending a court action instituted against the trust, or trustee, and prosecuting a legal action on behalf of the trust, or trustee, as well as the possible necessity of commencing a private action pursuant to the commercial process. The reader must keep in mind that the chances of an action being taken against the trust or trustee who has properly limited his liability are slim to none. And if an action is taken against them anyway, generally, such cases don't make it past the crucial phase of determining jurisdiction. When one examines the definition of jurisdiction, the fog begins to clear. Jurisdiction, in 1. A government's general power to exercise authority over all persons and things within its territory. 2. A court's power to decide a case or issue a decree. 3. A geographic area within which political or judicial authority may be exercised. 4. A political or judicial subdivision within such an area. There are two territorial jurisdictions created by the Constitution. The first is the territory, that is, that designated portion of the earth's surface which is deemed the imperially extensive real estate holdings of the nation over which all power must be exercised within the strict letter of the Constitution. The second is the other property, that is, a territory unincorporated, not included, into the Union of States, over which all power may be exercised strictly according to the mere spirit of the Bill of Rights as interpreted by Congress. The latter is subject to Congress outside the strict letter of guarantees of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. In the former, the federal government can have no direct control over the people but by way of contract, because it is entering onto every scene equally subject to the same laws as all persons, as opposed to the latter, wherein the federal government can have full and direct control over people who are beneficiaries of this jurisdiction. As noted earlier, they may act as they see fit, that is, as trustees, for the benefit of public policy regulations, known as codes and statutes, of this jurisdiction. Understanding that most courts currently in business in America are in fact, by the 1938 change in the operation of law, courts of limited jurisdiction, limited to cases involving subject matter of the 14th Amendment public trust, it becomes clear that whether they are distinguished as federal or state courts, such is a distinction without a fundamental difference, all are inherently federal. In order to get at how such courts may obtain jurisdiction over an express trust or its trustees in a legal action, the nature of jurisdiction should be briefly, but sufficiently examined. First, a court must have three essentials: jurisdiction to determine jurisdiction, jurisdiction over the subject matter of the case, that is, it must have the power, competence to decide the kind of controversy involved, and jurisdiction over the parties to the case, that is, in personam or personal jurisdiction to compel the party's performance. If either one is lacking in any way, the court is without power to decide the case, and any order, decree or judgment, other than a dismissal, by such a court is void ab initio, having only the semblance or appearance of validity, and may be attacked directly or collaterally and vacated at any time. It is settled law that a tribunal has jurisdiction to determine its own jurisdiction, which brings us to the remaining two elements. Subject matter jurisdiction is like the hub around which the wheel turns. Without the hub, the wheel cannot turn credibly. It is comprised of two parts, the statutory or common law authority of the court to hear the case and the appearance and testimony of a competent fact witness, that is, sufficiency of pleadings. It can never be waived, and it cannot be obtained by lapse of time, consent of the parties, or any event other than the sufficiency of pleadings of the party bringing the suit, that is, the plaintiff. However, although it may have been established by the pleadings, it can still be lost due to, inter alia, fraud upon the court, the judge's failure to follow proper procedure, the unlawful activity or undisclosed conflict of interest of the judge, for example, involvement in a scheme of bribery, the court exceeding its statutory authority, violation of due process, improper representation of a party before the court, improper issuance of a summons, or defective service of process, proper notice not being given to all parties by the movement, the court basing its order or judgment upon a void order or judgment, and violation of public policy. And when subject matter jurisdiction is lacking or lost, the court must discharge its ministerial duty to dismiss on that ground on its own motion, whether it has personal jurisdiction or not. Given the preceding sections on the Unincorporated Banking Association under former H.J. Rees. 192, and all of the above regarding the other property nature of the states today, it is easy to see why these courts are ipso facto courts of limited jurisdiction, having no jurisdiction over subject matter in the territory. But assuming for the sake of explanation that subject matter jurisdiction did exist, then personal, or personal in rem, jurisdiction over the trust and its trustees can only be obtained in four ways, either by the trusts or trustees. Presence, that is, its, his being served with a copy of the summons and complaint while physically present in the forum jurisdiction. Domicile, that is, residence alone is a basis for exercising jurisdiction. In the case of corporations, domicile is the state in which they are incorporated, and in the case of express trusts, the place of their situs. Permission or consent, that is, a trustee either personally or on behalf of the trust, having not been properly served, can nevertheless give the forum court permission to exercise jurisdiction. Depending on the act of the trustee, permission can be given well in advance of any lawsuit filed and the consent can also be implied, and, minimum contacts, that is, having sufficient dealings or affiliations with the forum jurisdiction which make it reasonable to require the trust, trustee to defend a lawsuit brought in the forum state. If the state has no contacts, ties or relations with the trust or trustees, personal jurisdiction cannot be obtained in this manner. The four principles of minimum contacts are, that, 1. The trust's or trustee's activity must be continuous and systematic in the forum jurisdiction, and the cause of action must be related to that activity. 2. Sporadic or casual activity of the trust or trustees in the forum jurisdiction does not justify the exercise of jurisdiction in a cause of action unrelated to that activity. 3. If the trust's or trustees' contacts are sufficiently substantial and of such a nature as to make the exercise of jurisdiction reasonable, then general jurisdiction may be exercised by the forum over the trust or trustees, and 4. If the trust's or trustees' activity is sporadic or consists only of a single act, then specific jurisdiction may be exercised by the forum only when the cause of action arises out of that activity or act. Unlike subject matter jurisdiction, once personal jurisdiction is obtained, it can rarely be lost. And if the trust, or trustee, permits or makes an unrestricted appearance, it cannot be later denied. Contrary to the general appearance which constitutes consent, the trust or trustees may avoid personal jurisdiction by making a special or restricted appearance for the purpose of attacking the forum court's personal jurisdiction, and may even attack, so to speak, subject matter jurisdiction. Generally, a challenge to subject matter jurisdiction constitutes consent, a waiver of personal jurisdiction for the purpose of arguing, but this doctrine does not apply to cases involving express trust over which subject matter jurisdiction clearly does not exist. Upon further analysis of the preceding diagram, we see the following. Presence, the trust is created and functioning in the territory, doing business under the general common law, not the private law of the unincorporated banking association. Presence can therefore only be construed to exist where the trust has become a member of that association via residence in a revenue district, indicated by zip code, or by engaging in a particular transaction. Even then, the trust or trustees must be present by membership or transaction in that particular political subdivision, state, and given notice reasonably certain to reach them, that is, service of process via either personal service, substituted service, or constructive service, as service by mere publication in a newspaper of general circulation has been held insufficient in such cases. And, as a side note, mere physical presence in a courtroom during some phase or proceeding does not constitute an appearance, domicile. The situs of the trust is in the United States of America, designating the territory, the Union of States, as the land of which the common law is supreme law. Unless the trustees, in behalf of the trust, adopts a principal place in the other property, establishes a residence in a place subject to the federal jurisdiction with the intention to make it its domicile, personal jurisdiction is lacking in this respect. It must purposely establish an address directly in a revenue district, for example, via post office box, or street address, to be liable in this way. But if the trustees contracts with a private mail service provider or carrier, signing without prejudice, then personal jurisdiction does not attach. This affects an exclusion of any third-party intervener, overseer, and reserves the obligation to the course of the common law of contracts, that is, bilateral contracts, not trilateral ones. Permission, it may seem tricky, but it is rather simple. Any answer to any presentment from a forum jurisdiction constitutes giving them permission to exercise authority, unless it is specifically a special or restricted appearance for the sole purpose of challenging their authority, personal jurisdiction. If the trustees do not answer in general, or subordinate themselves, then consent has not been given. And if the trustees, presumably under properly limited liability, enter into a contract under a forum selection clause, then the forum selected will have personal jurisdiction. However, there are limitations to what constitute an enforceable forum clause, for if the clause is expressed in fine print, placed in the contract so as to avoid litigation, unreasonable or ambiguous, not fundamentally fair, or if the clause could not have been disputed without impunity as a part of a freely negotiated contract, then it is invalid. Minimum contacts: the trust must purposely avail itself of benefits and services of the state, for example, license, registering ownership there, contracting with the government there, availing itself of benefits or services of the legal system, three court actions, utilizing police or fire services, etc. A systematically and continuously, or sporadically but substantially enough so as to warrant the trust or trustees being compelled to come into the form. I will not get into diversity of citizenship here, though it is wholly important to subject matter jurisdiction in the federal courts, for it is highly improbable that it would even be necessary to bring it up in such an action, given all of the above with which the express trust is naturally armed. As a final note, when the express trust is taking an action against an outside party, the most effective method is via the commercial process, that is, a private, out-of-court, legal action instituted under the fundamental rules of commerce, trade, business. Lawsuits should be regarded as a last resort to secure judicial enforcement of a private judgment, for public suits confer full personal jurisdiction upon the court. Taking a claim to a legislative court avails the trust of several benefits and services of that form, and thereby establishes a substantial minimum contact. Even still, any action for judicial enforcement of a private judgment can be done out of court pursuant to the commercial process. In private actions, the maxims of commerce, the foundation of all commercial law and Western legal systems, govern: a workman is worthy of his hire. Legal maxim: it is against equity for freemen not to have the free disposal of their own property. All are equal under the law. Law of God, moral and natural law. Legal maxim: no one is above the law. Commerce, by the law of nations, ought to be common, and not to be converted into a monopoly and the private gain of a few. In commerce, truth is sovereign. Legal maxim: to lie is to go against the mind. Oriental proverb: of all that is good, sublimity is supreme. Truth is expressed by means of an affidavit. An unrebutted affidavit stands as the truth in commerce. Legal maxim: he who does not deny, admits. An unrebutted affidavit becomes the judgment in commerce. Any proceeding in a court, tribunal, or arbitration forum consists of a contest, or duel of affidavits wherein the points remaining unrebutted in the end stand as the truth in the matters to which the judgment of the law is applied. A matter must be expressed to be resolved. Legal maxim, he who fails to assert his rights has none. He who leaves the field of battle first loses by default. Legal maxim, he who does not repel a wrong when he can, occasions it. Sacrifice is the measure of credibility. One who is not damaged, put at risk, or willing to swear an oath on his commercial liability for the truth of his statements and legitimacy of his actions has no basis to assert claims or charges and forfeits all credibility and right to claim authority. Legal maxim, he who bears the burden ought also to derive the benefit. A lien or claim can be satisfied only through rebuttal by counter-affidavit point for point, resolution by jury, or payment. Legal maxim, if the plaintiff does not prove his case, the defendant is absolved.